Exodus chapter 15, we'll begin reading with verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, now you might have to excuse me, for all of my life I have heard that pronounced Mara, and I've pronounced it that way. And according to my phonetic Bible, the pronunciation is Marah. It's a long A. So if I mess up tonight and call that Marah, whatever, you can excuse me. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. Lord, may there be something in it that we can apply to our lives, that we might be strengthened this evening, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very often, learning lessons in life is a bitter experience. And yet, while this is true, it is also true that experience is the best teacher. You can tell a child repeatedly, "Don't touch the stove because it's hot." But they never really get it until they touch the stove. Then they get burned, but they learn a lesson that they will never forget as long as they live. It was a bitter lesson to learn. Unfortunately, we all seem to have the same characteristic. We have to be burned sometimes before we learn the lessons that need to be learned. In this passage, Israel is fresh from a spiritual victory. They had been delivered from slavery. They had been given a new life. They had witnessed God destroying their enemies in the depths of the Red Sea. Now, 3 days later, they were faced with a trial. Just 3 days after that miraculous deliverance and experience, they come upon a trial. After 3 days with no water, they came to this place called Marah. While they were there, they learned some valuable lessons, and I picked out three of them. And it's these three lessons that I want us to focus on this evening. It may be that there are some of you going through a trial. If so, these verses will teach you some good lessons if you can learn them. And if you're here tonight and everything is just going peachy, everything is going along smoothly for you, then look out, because the day of your Marah will come. And when that happens, you need to learn the lessons that we are going to present to you this evening. So let's step back in time, shall we, and join Israel as they're at Marah. And let's think together about the lessons that can be learned at life's bitter pools. Some lessons from life's bitter pools. Number one, they learned some lessons about life. They learned that life is a mixture. Israel had just experienced the blessing, but now they must face the bitter as well. Then as soon as this time of bitterness was passed, they enjoyed a time of blessing. They encamped there by the waters. I suppose they were like a lot of people in our day who assume that once you join the ranks of the redeemed and once you sign up for the Lord's army, everything is just going to be great after that. Everything is going to be perfect and there is not going to be any bumps in the road. Unfortunately, that is just faulty thinking. It's just not true. According to God's word, life is a mixture of good and bad. And I used to think in my naiveness that when I finally learned how to be a good husband and I finally learned how to be a good father and I learned all the tricks to pastoring, that everything would just be good and blessing coming down my way. I found out that that's not true. That's not the case. There's a mixture of good and bad. And while I'm rejoicing at something, there is something that is tearing at my heart as well. And while there is something that might be discouraging that is going on, there is also something that causes tremendous joy. Life is a mixture of good and bad. It's somebody said it's like good and evil running parallel tracks, and they usually arrive about the same time. That's true in all of life. And we never get to the point where it's only good, at least not forever that way. And while the outlook of that may seem depressing to you, we are also assured that life has some very wonderful moments. The birth of a child, growing in love. Those are things that are just tremendous experiences that you wouldn't trade for anything. And so there are some lessons here that are worth remembering. When you are aware that life can go either way, then you are prepared for either. Secondly, life has a master. When Israel arrived at Merah, they seemed to forget the wonderful things that God had done for them. They forgot about the plagues, their deliverance, and the miracle at the Red Sea. They forgot that up until that time, God had been in absolute control of everything, of all their situation. They forgot that God was the master of life. God is the master of life. Both in the good times and in the bad times, God is the master. We'll cruise through life enjoying the Lord's blessings, and many times we take those blessings for granted. How many times have I heard, you know, I just took this blessing, or I just took this person, or I just took my health, or I just took this situation for granted, not realizing that the hand of God's blessing was upon us, and yet just come to a time of difficulty. We wring our hands, we hang our heads in defeat, and we worry about what we are going to do. We forgot that the same God who was in control of the blessing is still the same God in our lives today. God is still on the throne of your life, whether you are experiencing a time of blessing or you're going through a time of trial. Whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, God is still on the throne. He's in charge of all life. The disciples rejoiced in the miracles that Christ had performed. He had fed the multitudes, and they were rejoicing, and that was in their minds as they were thinking about that. And then they got into a boat, and the winds became contrary, and the storm rose, and they forgot what they had just seen Christ do. Sounds a lot like us. Life, number C, or three, life has a master. A ministry. Life has a ministry. God uses both the good times and the bad times to minister to us. He did that with the Israelites. What they learned about God in both of these times of life shaped their perception of who God was and what He could do for them. The same is true of us. Every situation in life, God uses it to try to teach us something, to minister to us in some way or another. And just as a child is the product of his or her environment, and I'm not going to say that's 100% true, but there is some truth to that. A child is the product of his environment. So the Christian is a product of the situations in his life. Even more correctly, he is a product of how he responds to the situations in life. In all of life, realize this. In all of life, God is simply trying to make us more like Him. In the good times and in the bad times, His goal is that we become Christ-like. He is trying to conform us into the image of Himself, of Jesus Christ. They learned some lessons about life. Number two, they learned some lessons about themselves. Life is like a laboratory. Every experience, whether good or bad, x-rays our heart and reveals to us exactly what we are. The bitter time at Merah revealed certain characteristics about the Israelites that they probably would rather have not known. I look at times in my life, and you know, it's during the trials of my life when I'm faced with bitter situation and I stand before the bitter pools and I look at myself and I see how I respond to a situation, and that tells me things about myself that I didn't know before. Tells me things about me that I didn't know. And a lot of times we like to blame other people for bringing out the worst in us. But the worst is already there. That's right. They just bring it out and we realize what we are really like. This bitter time at Merah revealed to the Israelites that they were guilty of certain things. Isn't that true? When the bottom of life falls out, when you come to a trial, you find exactly what you are made of. You find out what's inside of you. The Israelites found out that they were living for self. They were only concerned about their bodily satisfaction. Forgotten were the things God had just recently done in their lives. Instead of being caught up in His wonder, in His glory, and in His worship, they were totally consumed with their personal needs. When we get into a tight spot, we forget the greatness of God. And our world suddenly seems so very small. We tighten the boundaries of our lives until we are the centerpiece of our thoughts and our motives. We must remember that God doesn't want us living for self and selfish needs. He wants us to live for Him. And when we do that, He has promised that He would take care of life's trials. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things that you have need of, they'll be added unto you." The Israelites also discovered that they were not only living for self, but they were walking by sight. Israel was guilty of looking for satisfaction in the world around them instead of the God who had bought them. And then when their expectations failed them, what did they do? They became disappointed with God. How many times are we guilty of the same thing? We expect something. We expect something from our job. We expect something from somebody, thinking that they are going to make us happy all the time. And we never look for joy in the one place where it will always be found, in Christ. Even in the bitter times of life, we can always find that in His presence there is great joy. Our duty as believers is to learn to depend upon the Lord completely and totally for every situation in life. We are to be people of faith. Listen, when we step outside the realm of faith, we are no longer walking by faith, but we are walking by sight. We have left God's best, and we'd entered into sin. And at first, as I thought about that, I thought, no, this leaving God's best and not walking by faith and walking by sight, that can't be sin. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So as Christians, we need to be walking in the Spirit. We need to be people of faith, not walking by sight, but trusting in the Lord every step of the way. And then the Israelites discovered that they were never satisfied. These people just 3 days before had seen the Lord destroy the greatest army in the world. Don't you think you could go for a long time on that kind of experience? Man, God, you what a deliverance you have brought us. You brought us out of the land of bondage. You opened up the Red Sea that we might cross over on dry ground, and you destroyed the greatest army on the face of the earth. I would think you could live for a long time on that spiritual high, but 3 days is all it took. And the Israelites had hit the bottom. They were discouraged. They were not satisfied with what the Lord had done. Lord, what did you do for me today? When we are up on the mountain, we are quick to glorify God and even stand publicly and give Him thanks. However, when a little trial comes our way, we're tempted to whine and gripe and complain about the terrible thing that we have to go through. And you know, when you stop and think about it, it really is quite silly. It doesn't seem like it at the time, but it's silly because God is in the good times as well as the bad times. God is in every situation we find ourselves. God's plan for our lives is that we learn to give glory to Him in every situation life throws at us. Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Listen, you can't do that always walking by sight. You can't give thanks in every situation if you are simply walking by sight. It takes great faith to be able to thank God in every situation. If we are on the mountain, then praise Him for the blessings. Listen, if we are on the valley, then praise Him for His faithfulness. Whatever we face in life, we are to praise His name. They learned some lessons about life. They learned some lessons about themselves. And number three, they learned some lessons about the Lord. They learned that He is aware of our needs. God knew what they would face at Merah. God himself had planned their journey. He knew about the need before they did. Do you know that nothing in your life takes God by surprise? Nothing that happens to you ever surprises God. He is already in tomorrow. He's waiting for you to get there. God is not restricted by time, and so he is already in your tomorrows, and he knows what you will face tomorrow. He knows what you will face when you get there. He knows the next time you're going to be sick. He knows the next time you're going to feel grief. He knows the next time that bill will be sent in the mail. I'm glad I serve a God who knows what I need before I realize I need it. He is aware. And then he is able to meet our need. Not only is he aware of that, but he is able to meet it. Moses was commanded to cast a tree into the waters. And when they did, they were made sweet. God, in his wisdom, had already prepared that tree for the meeting of that need. When they arrived, when they got to the place, when they got to Marah, God was ready. God was prepared ahead of time. He manifested his power as they got what they needed from the Lord. Listen, he is able to meet our needs as well. When man was placed on this earth, he had no needs. Adam had no needs. Everything was provided for him. God placed him in a perfect world. Yet there in the garden, Adam had everything he could possibly need. But he sinned. And when man sinned, he became a needy creature. When Jesus, he needed salvation, but he also needed the very essentials of life itself. When Jesus came and died on Calvary, he repaired everything that Adam had destroyed through death on that tree. Listen, through the death of Christ on the tree, the cross, he was able to repair that which was destroyed. Through death on that tree, he was able to make the bitter waters of life sweet again. Through his death on the cross, we find everything we need to have our needs met. If we need salvation, yes, that's provided for on the cross. But the other things, all the other things that we have need of, Christ has provided for us through the tree of the cross. When we are in a right relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are in a position to have all of our needs met by him, by his power. Through the cross of Christ, the bitter waters of life are made sweet again. Through the cross, God is able to meet your need, not only of salvation, but in every area of life. What is it that you have need of tonight? Have you ever thought that the cross is the answer to that need? Have you ever thought that the cross, that tree, is the thing that makes the bitter waters of life sweet again? The cross unlocks the power of God in our lives. God is able to meet any need you face as you go through the bitter waters of life. And then he has already provided for our need. We've hinted at this. Let's make it more clear. Years before Israel arrived at Marah, God had caused a seed to germinate in the very place they would need it. He looked ahead and he prepared a way before a way was ever needed. Do you know that that's what God does? He looks at your life, he knows the needs that you will have in the future, and he is already preparing to meet those needs. He's already preparing so that your need will be met when you get there. When you get to that place, when you get to your Marah, when you get to the place where you stand at the bitter pool, when you get to the place where your life is full of trials and you have needs, very real needs, Christ will have already provided the things that you need to meet those needs. He does the same for us. Do you ever realize that your need, as frightening as it may be, is only the evidence of God's supply in waiting? God's supply is already there. He is just waiting for you to get to that place. And then he will supply that need. That's why we're not to worry about tomorrow. We worry about it. We wonder how it's going to be supplied. We wonder how God's going to take care of it. Doesn't matter. God's already taken care of it. He's just waiting for us to get there. You'll never face a need in life that God has not already met. You know what? If that ever sinks into us, if we really ever grasp that, it will have a profound change on our lives. It will totally destroy doubt and worry and fear. It will liberate us from selfish interests and give us peace about all of life. At Meara, God revealed himself to Israel as Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord your healer. If Israel had never faced this bitter time, they would never have known this aspect of God's character. If you had never been sick, never diseased, then you would never have known the God who could heal. You would have just known about that maybe as theory, as something that somebody taught, but you would have not known that personally. You would not have had that experience in your life. It's just as Job would never have known that God was the God of restoration unless he had first lost everything. Just as Lazarus would never have known the joy of life if he hadn't died. Mary and Martha would not have known that Jesus was the resurrection and the life unless they had first known grief. You see, we go through these trials, we have these experiences, we have these emotions because God is trying to teach us something about himself that we have not yet learned. And when God brings us to that place, we don't have to worry because he is the supplier. Our need will be met. He's already made sure that he will meet our need. What I'm saying is that the Lord uses the bitter episodes of life to reveal himself more fully to his children. When we stand at the bitter waters of our Meras, and we will, God help us to know that he is on the throne and that he is in control. God help us to look for his hand and his waiting provision. His provision is already there, waiting for us. May we look for it. May we find it. If you are like me, these are some lessons that I want to take to heart tonight. If you are struggling today, I just encourage you to bring it to Jesus. When you take the mixture, I don't know if witch's brew is a good terminology or not. When you take the mixture of your life with all of its good and bads, and then you throw in the cross of Christ, it all straightens out. Everything becomes good. God can make sense of any mess. The key is learning not to kick, not to resist, but to rest in his power and allow him to have his way in your life. Is there a need that needs to be brought to the cross today? Is there a need that you need to have met? I'm going to ask us tonight if we could come to the cross and realize that the Lord has thrown his tree into the pool of your bitter water so that your life and your experiences may become sweet again. If there is such a time in your life, I would think tonight would be the time to come to the cross. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? Gail, we're going to sing Kneel at the Cross. I mentioned that there are good and bad things that go on in our lives almost continuously. How many of you here tonight have something that you are thankful for despite something else? Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Then what I'm going to ask you to do in just a few moments is come up front here and kneel. I want you to kneel at the cross of Christ tonight. Give that need to him. Let faith arise in your soul. Picture the cross being thrown into that pool of bitter water. Picture the cross being thrown into that mixture of good and bad and bringing sweetness back into your life. Father, you've seen the hands tonight. We're going to ask that you would do a mighty work. Lord, that as people come forward tonight and kneel at the cross, Lord, may they have the faith to realize that you have already done the things that are necessary to supply their need. Lord, you've started it a long time ago. You knew about this time in history. You knew about the people that would be here tonight. You knew about their needs and what they would be going through. And Lord, a long time ago, you moved in, you stepped in, and you started the supply. May we just come to that supply tonight. May we find refreshment. May we find the provision that you have waiting for us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.